forever. So God admonishes us, and he tells us, in like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair, gold, or pearls, or costly clothing. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Can you say amen? God tells us tonight that we all will appear before the judgment seat, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he has done, whether it's good or bad. The great reformer John Wesley said this: I exhort you to wear no gold or pearls or precious stones. Don't advise women to wear rings, earrings, or necklaces. It is true that they're little, very little things. Therefore, if they are not worth defending, therefore give them up, let them drop, throw them away without another word, else a little evil may cause us much pain in the flesh, little self-indulgence, much hurt to your soul. Remember, friends, our body is the temple of who? Bible teaches us if anyone defiles a temple, what happens? God will destroy. The Bible teaches, ladies and gentlemen, that we have one example, and that example is who? Christ Jesus. You see, friends, dress is an index of the heart. Dress reveals what's in the heart. The Bible teaches in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, there was a woman who met him with the attire of a what? Harlot. And she had a crafty, subtle what? What one wears on the outside is simply an indication of what's in the inside. Dress is an index to the heart, and that's why Moses was told this: speak to the children of Israel, tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a blue thread in the tassels of the corners. You shall have the tassel that you may look upon it and remember all the what? Commandments of the Lord your God, and do them, that you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are what? Inclined. Ladies and gentlemen, I like to tell it this way. We are walking billboards, not to show people what we have, but to show people who we have. People should be able to see us and know that we're Christians, that it's not about us, it's about him. Can you say amen? Friend, Jesus said, I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her as he has already committed adultery, where? In his heart. So what's the motivation? The Bible says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. What does this gospel grace do? Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives today. Can you say amen? Our motivation for doing anything for the master is what? Love. And love's a motivation because I don't know about you, but I want to see him. I want to be taken up with him in the clouds of glory. Love makes any commandment not burdensome. Can you say amen? The Bible teaches whatever God says, love makes it not burdensome. It becomes a joy to do that which God has said. There was a woman in the Bible who was told every sin she ever committed. Now, would that be uncomfortable? Come on, speak to me. Would that be uncomfortable? Every sin you ever committed, how would you like Jesus to just be telling you right now? You know what she did? She made sure that water bucket was filled and she just threw it at his face. Is that what the Bible teaches? This woman saw her sinful condition, and you know what she said? She went to others and said, come see a man who has told me all things I ever did. Could this be the what? That woman recognized that there's only one man that could complete her. The man is Christ Jesus. Today, Jesus didn't live to please himself. Jesus lived to die for you. Today, what crown are you wearing? What class are you in? It's time, friend, to choose. choose a side. Can you say amen? It's time to live for Him.
I have wandered for so long, tired and weary in my own. In your arms I know I'm home.
In 1794, in France, in Paris, there was a ruler there by the name of Robespierre. During his time of rulership, it was called the Reign of Terror. Persecuted countless thousands of Christians. Dungeons were filled with people that were going to the rack to be killed. There was one Christian father who had one son. And he recognized this son was not coming home. He must have been caught and taken to a local prison. So he was in search for his son. Couldn't find him anywhere, so he did the unthinkable. He decided to claim himself being a Christian and be taken into one of these dungeons just so that he could find his only son. So he did just that. He was taken into a local dungeon. And as he looked and as he looked and as he looked, he finally found, leaning against the wall, fast asleep, his only son. He began to weep. My son has barely lived, and now he's gonna die. What can I do to save my son? So he said, I know. When they call his name, I will stand very quickly, hopefully in time, where he doesn't recognize it and wake up, and I will take his death. He spent there the night thinking, when will they call his name? Sitting right next to his side, hoping he wouldn't wake. Finally, one of the guards came in, called out his name. He quickly stood up and said, it is I. And he said, okay, come with me. He went and saw the paperwork, and it says here that you're 37 years old. You don't look 37. He said, I'm 73. I think they got it messed up. He said, okay, well, off with your head. He was killed. Shortly after this time, that young man woke up. And there was another fellow prisoner who knew his father and knew him. And he was wondering, the young man was looking around thinking, why is it that I'm still alive? Mostly everyone that came in with me is gone and dead. Why am I still here? When all of a sudden, that prisoner who knew him and his father came to his side and said, young man, your father was here. And when they called your name, your father stood and died for you. The young boy began to cry. Why would my father do that for me? Shortly after this time, Robespierre was taken in, and he was beheaded, and the reign of terror died. This young man was released, and he made one vow. I'm going to live the rest of my life making my father proud. Today, we have a Savior who came down and took the death that we deserved so we could live for Him. How many of you today want to say, God, I want to live for You? Pray with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, thank You so much for the sacrifice You showed on Calvary's cross. Thank You so much for revealing to us Your great love for us. Lord, surrendering anything becomes easy when we recognize how much You've surrendered for us. You not only surrender the courts of heaven above, but You surrendered the ability to be everywhere at once, just so that we could be with You one day. Father, today I pray that whatever You're calling us to surrender, we will find it easy in light of what You've surrendered for us. May love be the only driving force to give that which You're asking us to give. Thank You, God, for all that You do for us. May our lives as Christians mark who we serve and who we love. Bless my friends here today. And bless the food we're about to eat. For ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Message tonight on the Remnant Church. Message tomorrow night on the Mark of the Beast. And message on Monday night on Revelation Spirit of Prophecy. Thank you so much for coming out here. Please join us for a nice lunch that is waiting for you. And I'm sure you've been waiting for it. And we will go directly from there right now. God bless you all. Hopefully we'll see you all tonight. God bless.